If you've struggled with stress, balance, or burnout, and simply feel discouraged or even defeated, and if you're ready to move from force to flow and enjoy ultimate Zen success in your career, health, or relationships, then the Zen Success Show is for you. Your host, Carissa Sims, is an entrepreneur, corporate consultant, best-selling author, meditation teacher, and healer who has found her own Zen success. Here's your host, Carissa Sims.
Welcome to this week's episode of Zen Success. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Brendan Watt.
Hi, Brendan. Carissa. Thank you.
Hi. Yes. Yes. I'm so happy that you joined me today for the Zen Success Show. I'm excited to speak with you because I feel we'll go into your business background a little bit and your evolution, but I just feel like it's so perfect for my show, Zen Success, because I'm trying to integrate spirituality into business, help people find their own version of success. So, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So a little bit about Brendan. He's a worldwide speaker, best-selling author, and facilitator for Access Consciousness, a global empowerment company present in 176 countries. And I've actually had Access Consciousness practitioners work on me before.
You have?
I have, yeah. In Los Angeles, yeah.
Okay.
So that was wonderful at the New Life Expo.
Did you get Buzz? Did you try that out?
Now what is that, getting Buzz?
The Access Buzz is 32 points on the head that when lightly touched, it's about dissipating all your considerations, beliefs, ideas, judgments on, you know, all of these different things. But it's a hands-on process that basically was the beginning of my life changing 13 years ago.
Oh my God, that's so amazing. Well, we'll have to go into that. You know, they did do some points on the head, so they probably did. They probably did it, but I really went deep. You know, I really was like out of it, and wonderful. Well, his classes and workshops empower others to know they are not wrong and that anything is possible. And I think people really need to hear that right now. That's so inspiring.
Yeah.
And that they are just one choice away from change. Brendan specializes in helping others to overcome addiction as he too walks the path of recovery and sobriety. And I do too, actually. I don't drink anymore. And it's such a wonderful life.
Right. Yeah. I very much like myself a lot more.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I was a little bit scary, so we're not going to go into that. But just being conscious, and alive, like there's so much to live for and everything. So yeah, he is the author of Relationship, Are You Sure You Want One? Co-authored with Simone Milasis. Am I saying her name right?
Simone Milasis.
Milasis. Okay.
Yeah.
An international bestseller available in 7 languages. Find Brendan every week on his podcast, One Choice from Change, on iTunes and Amazon, and on the Access Consciousness website. That's amazing. To learn more, visit brendanwatt.com. And I'll also put your website and social media handles in the show notes. Welcome, Brendan.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I mean, we started to get into your journey a little bit, so I'd love to go back to that. Tell me about the first time you experienced Access Consciousness and did for you. The buzz, I guess you call it.
The buzz is in BARS, Access Consciousness Bars. So I highly suggest people check that out because it's millions of people around the planet now are using it.
Thank you for correcting me. I was like thinking you said another word. I totally get it now.
That's the Australian.
Yeah, that's so Australian.
It's like,
I love it.
It's kind of like speaking with marbles in your mouth kind of effect. Nobody understands it unless they're Australian. And you're like, yeah, there you go.
I've traveled with a bunch of Aussies and Kiwis around Europe. So I got to know the difference, but it's been a while. So yeah.
There you go. Well, we'll reintroduce you to it in this episode.
Love it. Okay.
I'll see if I can get a little bit of Aussie slang in there or something.
see if I can follow along. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
So 13 years ago, I was at a very low point in my life, you know, and I just got out of a relationship with my son's mother. My son was 4 at the time, and I was sharing a bedroom with him at my mother's house, and I was waking up every day miserable. I hated my life, but more.
And why did their relationship end? Was it a good thing?
It was a good thing. It never worked to begin with. You know, but it was one of those things that I thought, if I stick with it, I'll finally make this work. And I'm finally going to, you know, create this fairy tale that I always saw as a possibility growing up. It didn't work. So it was that basically what had got me to that point was trying to create my life on a set of ideals, on a set of things that I'd put in as belief systems, thinking, well, if I just get this right, then I'm finally going to know how to live in this world. If I just get this right, then I'm finally going to belong. If I just get this right, and I think for a lot of us, that is the recipe for misery, you know, and I'd hit it. And it was one day I kind of begged the universe. I was like, I need something different, or I don't want to be here anymore. And that's when I found this little ad in the newspaper that said, all of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory. Call Mel. That's all it said.
Wow, intriguing. But you weren't suspicious at all.
I was more curious. I was more, why am I drawn to this?
Yeah.
I was, and at that point, I was quite literally willing to do anything. Like I'd ask for help, I'd beg the universe, and then bam, that little ad showed up, right? So I called this girl.
That's wonderful. Your destiny calling.
Yeah. And she was more nervous than I was, I think, answering the phone. She was like, I do this thing called the Access Consciousness Bars, you know. And she said, at worst case, it'll be like you've had a great massage. At best case, your whole life will change. And when she said that, I was like, okay. And I went and got this session with her. And I laid down as I received this process, and I sobbed for 90 minutes.
Wow.
And which sounds a little dramatic, but it was more of a release of decades of just piling, just compressing my universe in on itself, and having no space, having no joy, having no sense that there was any possibilities. And when she did this process, it was like something cracked in me. And after that, my life really, it started turning around as I started using a lot more of these Access Consciousness tools and attending more of the seminars and really getting, really beginning to make a lot of different choices.
Yeah, that's amazing. What did that feel like, your life shifting? Did you start to see opportunities? Did you start to have more motivation? Like, how did that process work?
I pretty quickly started getting a lot happier.
Okay.
I actually was a tradesman in Australia at the time, a tiler, a construction worker. And I noticed that the people around me who didn't want me getting any happier would get more unhappy with my happiness. You know, the people that you have in your life that kind of like it when you're miserable. Because you're
then it's something to talk about, or they can feel better about their life. Yeah.
Yeah. They can feel better about their life, and they find it easier to control you and keep you in a box. Well, I had a lot of those people in my life at that point. So as I got happier, a lot of people in my life would be, you know, I remember being in a lot of doubt at one point when I was really starting to move forward in my life. And a lot of people would be like, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing that different stuff for? Why can't you just be happy? And I remember thinking, okay, so I could choose to stay the same.
Mm.
Or I could choose to really go for this and discover what being me actually is. Which one would I like to choose? And it was, I remember looking at that, and it was so clear to me, no, I don't care what I lose. I need to find out what it is to be me.
It's very brave and courageous.
Well, yeah. And I think for a lot of us, like a lot of us may not even have been shown that it's a possibility to.
Good point.
To change like that, you know, like I didn't. I by the time I hit 30, I thought that was it.
Yeah.
You know, but it was interesting for me because as a kid, I remember as a young kid knowing that the universe must be full of possibilities. There must be magic out there. There must be, you know, there must be things beyond what we can see. You know, and beyond what other people tell us is the truth of us. And I was like, and this seems to be a similar case for a lot of people that I work with. It's in those younger years, we begin to learn about judgment. You know, we begin to try and find what's right and not be wrong. And we switch off our capacity to choose, really, and the freedom we have with choice.
Absolutely. That's wonderful that you have that introspective, you know, to just like go back and think about that. You're almost returning to that belief that you had as a child, the unlimited possibilities. You're yeah. Turning to your source, who you truly are.
Yeah. Well, you know how people would ask you that question as a kid and they'd be like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you'd be
yeah.
like, I just want to be happy. You know, and I want to like help people and I want to like contribute to the world and I want to make mud pies and I want, you know, but you had a sense of curiosity and a sense of joy.
That's right.
And, you know, and even now, like it's taken me, it's taken me some time to get to this point of even desiring to look at a future beyond what I've been told I can have. Because when we look to what's actually possible, it can be really uncomfortable when no one else is really going there. It's much right. easier to go.
You have to pave your own path. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. And that being a leader, it's like, it's definitely not something that, I had eyes open to, you know, in earlier life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, how can we love ourselves without judgment?
Well, I would say, first of all, big part is give up the judgment, you know, and that sounds really easy, right? You know, you're just like, yeah, you say that, give up the judgment, but how? Well, first of all, recognize that how is the thing that keeps us stuck in the first place? If there is no, rather than look for the how, what if, first of all, you could just ask the question, like, I wonder what it would take for me to get out of judgment. And if you took one area of your life and you went, you know what? I am making this demand of me right now that I am going to begin. I'm just going to begin to choose a lot less judgment here, to get into a lot more allowance of me. And I think, so in with that, here's a tool that I use with getting out of judgment is and getting to allowance is every point of view that comes up. Everything that comes, you know, where you've got these judgments of yourself or you've got a judgment of somebody else or you've got a strong point of view or any point of view, basically, is interesting point of view. I have this point of view. And if you do that with every point of view that you have, you begin to actually set yourself free because you no longer have the necessity to either align and agree or be in resistance and reaction to something. And that's the thing that keeps us stuck is our point of view creates our reality. So if you, let's say you have a judgment of yourself that, let's say with money, for example, you know what, I'm really crap with money. I can never save it. I'm always spending it. I'm always running out, whatever that is. Well, that judgment is what's creating your money flows or lack thereof.
That's insightful.
Yeah. Well, once again, it sounds so simple, but if we got more present in our lives, because here's one of the other things, and I know this was something that I still work on a lot for myself with everything that we think, everything that we say, all of these judgments, all of these points of view that we have, they're everything that's creating the life we live.
Interesting.
Every time you say that's not possible, I can't do that,
that's a box we're co-creating. Yeah, with the universe, we're blocking that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, beginning to get really present in your life. Like I'll have things come into my head, or I'll say something to somebody else, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Wow, interesting point of view. I have that point of view about myself or about this situation, because I see in that moment, there's the energetics that's creating it.
Yeah.
And it, once again, sounds simple, and it is, and it can be if you're willing to use it.
So is that one of the ways we can build a healthy relationship with ourselves and be kind?
Yeah, I would say definitely give up the judgment. I mean, and also I would say, like with people right now, people listening, is get a sense, like even just get a little bit of a sense right now of what would it be like for you to wake up in the morning and actually have that fire in you, you know, like have that desire to create something joyful and expansive as your day. Get a sense of what it would be like actually to get up and look in the mirror and actually like who's looking at you. You know, get a sense of what it was like to recognize for you that you didn't have to be perfect. You've got your good stuff. You've got stuff about you that is phenomenal and amazing. And yeah, you've got stuff about you that is not so great. We all do. Each and every one of us has our warts, has our things that we, you know, that may not be our greatest, you know, our greatest moments. But it's like, but what if we didn't have to judge them anymore? What if you could be an allowance of all of it?
Yeah. And when you're not judging, you're saying like sometimes what society thinks as bad, or we might think as bad, can actually be neutral. And if we come into that space of neutrality, then we can think of something different, like what's possible, and then co-create from that space. Because it seems like the judgment, we can have a positive judgment, but it always seems like judgment is negative. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And positive, well, I will say to this, positive judgments are far more destructive because they're the ones we'll hold on to.
I see.
And it's exactly the same thing. It's a different side of the same coin. But see, for most of us, there's, for a lot of us, we're really good at making ourselves wrong. You know, and when you've spent your life doing that, what do you want to do? You just want to, can I just be right for a little bit, please? You know, but rightness is more destructive than wrongness, because rightness you will hold on to. Notice when you're having a shitty day, you really want to change it. But if things are going good, then you're not really even necessarily asking for something greater. But when it's all doom and gloom, you're like, okay, what have I got to do to get out of this? Like, get me to, you know, to that thing again. Well, for me, what I've seen about myself and with people that I've worked with is those positive judgments, once again, they're just as destructive, because you cannot receive anything that doesn't match it. Cannot receive anything with a judgment that doesn't match that judgment. So it really eliminates a lot of receiving.
Yeah. And what was your addiction? Was it alcohol?
Yeah. Alcohol.
Alcohol. And yeah. Did you have judgments on yourself when you were drinking? And did you realize that?
Oh, totally. You know, for me, it was my greatest wrongness ever, you know. And that's, I hid it a lot. Like I kept a lot of it secret, and I kept a lot of it behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. You know, and especially in the last few years of my, like, as my alcoholism progressed, I didn't want anyone to know about it. I didn't want anyone to know how bad it was. I didn't want anyone to know how much I was struggling, how wrong I felt with it. you know, all the darkness that came along with it, it became my greatest secret. And that, you know, is for me, that was part of what was enabling it, but also it was a lot of it was reason and justification for why I didn't need to change it. You know, I tried finding every single way possible that I could to do the same thing over and over and expected and get a different result. And it just didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, did you find that in your culture, because you're in Australia, that, you know, a lot of, I will just say, it seems normal to drink alcohol. Like, it's part of socialization. That's what people do, and go out and have a good time and connect. I mean, not to make a generalization, but it's the same here in the US for college. You know, yeah. That's what you do. And it's like, sometimes people don't realize even that it's a problem for others. I mean, what do you think about those societal pressures as well?
Oh, I think, well, I actually live in the US now. I live in Texas.
You live in Texas. Okay. Yeah. Maybe similar. I don't know. Yeah. Texas. Well, I'm just Texas, kidding. I don't know.
Texas is its own country. So it's like,
you yeah.
know, but,
but so, yes, of course.
You know
what city
I mean.
Do you live in?
I live in Houston.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. I've been there.
Yeah. But everyone is trying, well, not everyone, that's a bit of a generalization, but a lot of people are trying to find anything they can to get away from themselves.
Oh,
to get away from
good point.
The pain.
Yeah.
To get away
numb
from
the pain.
The world.
Yeah.
To get away from the future. I mm-hmm. mean, how much of what people take drugs and alcohol for, and, you know, pharmaceuticals or whatever that is for them, is a way to get away of their awareness of the future that they've decided is, you know,
yeah.
For me, I mean, man, you can't even turn the television on anymore without seeing, you know, if you've got a sore hip, take this. If you've got
yeah.
a sore, you know, what,
pharmaceutical,
you know, there's an answer for everything.
Yeah. Telling you not to be in pain. Don't feel, numb it. Right. It's all over. Yeah. And video games too, TV video games. It's not just alcohol.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to, you know, I think if you desire to actually create a life that's joyful and expansive, then you've got to be willing to be present in it, you know. And that, for me, that was something that I really didn't want to, like, I was just like, oh, it's too uncomfortable. Like, I remember as a kid, I was so, and still am, so sensitive to, like, with my awareness and to the world around me. It's just like, but I see a lot of us have that. And what do you do when the world around you is just insane? Is you want to get away from your awareness,
mm-hmm.
thinking that the only way to actually cope with it is to get away from it. And that's kind of a band-aid thing, because it never actually worked. So with alcohol, drugs, with, you know, video games, with how much time you want to spend on social media, with whatever it is, it eventually, you know, it may work momentarily, but it doesn't create anything different for the future.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point. It seems like you might have qualities of an empath.
I think a lot of us do.
Yeah, a lot.
A lot of us have the empathic capacities, but also where we use those against us in order to save others, you know, and see, even healing abilities, like one of the tools, let me say this tool, one of the tools I learned very early on with Access was 98% of your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions don't actually belong to you. You're just aware of them, and you pick them up from the world around you, which made total sense to me, because I was like, why am I happy one moment and then depressed the next?
That's a huge percentage, 98%.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so the way this works is, what you want to do is, every time, you know, a thought, feeling, or an emotion comes up, you want to ask, who does it belong to? If it lightens up it at all, it's not yours. So you just ask to return it to sender.
Okay.
So this, as well with our healing capacities, is how much of the healing that we do, like for how many of us do you desire to actually take the pain and suffering out of others? For most of us, we'd go, well, yeah, isn't that my job?
Yeah. But it's actually the person's job to desire that, right? To allow that to happen in their life. What do you think?
100% correct is you can't change anyone. You can't take that out of anyone. And see, I know for me, I really misidentified what caring was. You know, I have a lot of caring, but I'd also kind of use that caring against myself where I'd be like, okay, well, if you could have something so much greater here, let me contribute to that. And when the person can't receive it, when they're not actually asking for it, what do you do with yourself? You automatically go to wrongness. You automatically go to, well, this doesn't work. And they, you know, I mustn't care. But it's like, if we look, for how many of us do we come into this world desiring to make our family happy?
Yeah, you think that's your role or the point of it.
Yeah, but my next thing with that is how many of your families actually desired happiness? Mine didn't at all, you know, and I love and care about them, but they didn't desire happiness. So my point with this is this sets us up with this sense of wrongness from the beginning, because when you have the sense of, well, I came here to create this, but it's not working, what's wrong with me?
Yeah. And so through this change in your life, you were getting healed through this access consciousness. And what was happening with your son and your relationship together? And how old is he now? Is this now, like, he's a teenager or in college?
Now he's 18.
He's 18. Yeah. So how was your journey together and you know, watching him, did he learn from you? Did you see him expand?
Yeah, he's in Australia now and he's creating his own life. I think he filled up 2 passports before he was 12.
Oh my gosh.
You know, he traveled the world and he got to see a lot of stuff. He got to travel the world a lot with us, and you know, so he's in those beginning years now of creating his life. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Well, just being exposed to all those amazing countries, I'm sure will really open him up to the possibilities. So how can Access Consciousness help us to become successful? Like if somebody wanted to work with you, how could that impact their success?
Well, I believe that each and every one of us has far more available and far more capacities than we actually tap into. And, you know, one of the things, the tagline of Access Consciousness is empowering you to know what you know. So it's actually about being in question and beginning to learn how to be a question so that you begin to actually receive something different and you begin to actually tap into what you actually are capable of. See, one of the things that I always used to think, well, how do I find me? Like, where am I? Where is what's true for me? Like, there's got to be some higher version of me or some greater, this, some esoteric, you know, whatever. But it's like what I realized, and with the help of Access, was each and every one of us are all already whole. You know, you already have within you every single gift and capacity that you could use to create anything that you truly desire to create, and to create anything as our world that you truly desire. But who's ever encouraged that or nurtured that or asked that of you? You know, so for me, I would love for everyone to know that they actually, they've got a different choice available. you know, that no matter where you are at your life right now, where you are in your life right now, there's always more and there's always greater. And I like to be to the best of my ability an example of that. You know, last year, I thought my life was over again.
Really? Why? Yeah, what happened?
That was when my issues with alcoholism hit the pinnacle of existence.
Oh my God, that was very recent.
It was 18 months ago. Yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that almost, you know, choosing that and not the unwillingness to deal with it earlier got me to a point where once again, I was, you know, I destroyed a lot of stuff in my life. So I had to rebuild it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you were able to do that over the past 18 months.
It's been a journey.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so I would, you know, I would really like to be something different in the world with addiction, you know, addiction with alcoholism, with whatever it is you're addicted to, because it's not just drugs and alcohol. You know, we could take millions of different things that we would use to not be present in our lives.
Yeah. Could be work.
Could be work. Could be, you know, relationships. It could be family. It could be, you know, but whatever that is. But see, even with that, it's like, but what if you could still have all that, but you got to have a lot more of you in it?
Mm.
You know, the trouble with the other drugs and alcohol addiction is, you know, they're not good for your body to begin with, you know, and they're definitely not good for your awareness, for your, you know, for your sense
for
of
your spirituality, ascension, right? Your connection with yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I used to think that was a way of getting to more connection. It's not. Mm-hmm. You know, people will talk about using drugs to become more conscious, and I've not seen that work as of yet.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen some people doing like a ceremony, mushrooms, you know, ayahuasca, but definitely not some other types of drugs and alcohol. And you can get there the same way through meditation and maybe through access consciousness too. What do you think?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm. And see, we found one thing a long time ago that when people use drugs, the information, the awareness that they get while on those drugs, it basically gets stored in your sensory cortex, which means you'll have this epiphany or this awareness while you're on drugs, but then you lose access to it. And then it may come back. You might hear a sound that's familiar or smell something that's familiar that reminds you of that moment. And you get flashes of that awareness, but you won't actually have any ability to access it again. So, you know, people will do ayahuasca and things like that. But I have nowhere that I could ever judge anything that anybody chooses. I've just seen what does and doesn't work for me. You know, I've tried so many things and I've been down so many paths with, you know, I'm a little extreme and I've just seen a lot of it not work so well.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I'm in the same boat. We won't go into all of our stories, all of our.
Well, we could.
No, we're in the light. We're staying positive. So your podcast, One Choice from Change, what made you want to call it that?
I was always fascinated with how making one choice could either send you down a rabbit hole or it could create something different in your life and living, or create something different in your future. And so I called it that because I see for all of us, choice is a powerful thing that for a lot of us, we haven't really been taught how to use it because it's been about the right choice and the wrong choice. Here's your menu of choice. Use that. Not what question can I be, What choices do I have available that I've never considered? You know, it's one of my favorite questions. What choices do I have available today that I've never considered?
Yeah, it really opens people up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you work with your clients? Do you work with them on a weekly basis, or how do you typically do your access consciousness work?
I travel quite a lot. You know, in a few weeks, I've got seminars on in Russia. I've got Istanbul, Turkey.
Budapest. Oh my gosh. That's exciting.
Yeah. So I travel quite a lot, but also, I mean, access is, there's thousands of facilitators now. So, I mean, it's all over the globe. So you can find it anywhere. There's so much
free
stuff. Can
you do it virtual, or is it only in person?
No, virtual. We got videos. You Google it. You can find videos everywhere on every single. You get free money tools. You get tools on relationship. You get tools on business. You get all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you can think of, we got something there that will contribute to it.
Oh, that's cool. And is it Access Consciousness that's bringing you to Istanbul, or is it your own brand? Are you a speaker going to be a speaker there?
Access Consciousness. I facilitate those seminars. I use those tools. It's the, you know, I've tried lots of different things over the years, and, you know, certain things would give me some freedom or some space for a few days. But then once again, I kind of end up back in the crap. Mm. And so Access was really, it gave me the tools to recognize that I actually do know. And I can actually create my life. And I am actually the source of it. So once again, to the best of my ability, I like to kind of show people that that's a possibility, that you do actually know what's true for you. You can create a phenomenal life if you truly desire one. Or you can create whatever it is that you truly desire. Because even that, like the phenomenal life, because you would go, oh, well, that would be lots of money, and that would be lots of traveling and fame and private jets and blah. What if it's not that for you?
Mm-hmm.
What if a phenomenal life for you is a tiny house in the woods?
Yeah.
You know, what if a phenomenal life for you is having a family and having 10 kids? What if a phenomenal life for you is, you know, whatever that is, but what if that was your phenomenal life?
Mm.
What if it was a life? What if having a phenomenal life was more about one where you wake up and you like you more every day? You wake up and you know without a shadow of a doubt that you being in this world makes this world a brighter place for all of us.
Mm.
And that alone, like that is, I remember years ago, there was a question like, and I can't remember who asked it, but it was, okay, so get a sense of you not being in this world. Is the world a greater place or a lesser place? And I was like, I so want to answer lesser, but I know I can't. And I think that, see, one of the tools we have in Access, which I love, is, and it's a law of the universe, is what is true for you will always make you lighter. Always. What's a lie for you will always make you heavier. So if I ask that question to anyone listening, would the world be a greater place or a lesser place without you in it? And if you say, well, it'd be a greater place without me in it, does that make you lighter or heavier? Heavier. So
then you can see if you're lying to yourself.
Yeah. You can
which
see
you know, because the soul knows the truth. So that's why the heaviness.
Well, your being knows what's truth always, you know, and the idea that we don't know, you know, that thing where you're like, well, that just showed up because I didn't know it was going to show up like that. When I hear myself say that, or when I hear somebody else say that, I go, are you sure about that? Or did that show up exactly the way you desired it to? And that, for me, that willingness to be that kind of square with yourself, that brutally honest, that like, you know what, I'm bullshitting myself right now. I knew it was going to show up like that. Okay, cool. So I made that choice. Now what's another choice I could make?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk about your book, your international bestseller, Relationship, Are You Sure You Want One? So why do you think it resonates with so many people? And what was your inspiration?
Well, we just, the relationship I was in at the time, we used the tools. You know, we used these tools from Access Consciousness and we used them like really. And, you know, we would be having a trouble, you know, we'd call a friend, you know, help me get a tool. Yeah. And so we wrote about all that stuff. Like it was a pretty open expression of that relationship and what it takes to actually create a relationship that works, but also the acknowledgement that relationship is not a necessity.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did a study years ago and they found that 90% of people would rather have a bad relationship than no relationship at all.
Yeah.
You know, I think we can all relate to that. I know for me, I always found it a necessity to have one. You know, without a relationship, there's something wrong with me. It was always about looking for this validation that I was getting something right. You know, so it was an acknowledgement of that from the question of, are you sure you actually want one?
Yeah. And that was when you were in a relationship, your co-author, you were in a relationship together. So you were expressing all of those teachings as you doing it.
Yeah. And it's a great book. I highly suggest it. It's awesome.
That's wonderful. Well, how can secrets be a destructive force in our lives?
Well, today's secret, when you have a secret, you continuously have to create the lie to keep it hidden. So today's secret will always create tomorrow's lie, you know, and it's this constant, this constant lying to yourself, this constant keeping things hidden, you know, and it eventually, once again, it gives you no choice, gives you no space. And, you know, for me, I talk about my journey with alcoholism. It was, man, I just was constantly trying to keep it secret, you know, and so I would be lying about it. And then I would have to make sure that I had the lies to lie about it again and cover those lies. And like, you know, and it was like, I had no space at all to be me. And it was one of the things that it was eventually going to see. You cannot. One of the things I've learned is you cannot keep choosing unconsciousness and expect to get away with it. Eventually it will come undone. Eventually. So if you've got some big secret that you've keeping, you know, something that in your life that you don't want to show, and, you know, and it's some, this worst side of you or something, eventually you're going to actualize it as something that's not going to turn out great, rather than just look at it and be present with it and go, okay, so what am I trying to keep hidden from myself with this? What am I trying to hide from here? What if I didn't keep this secret from me? You know, and one of the things I'm really grateful for with my life now is I don't have to hide anything anymore.
What a relief, huh?
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, that thing I said before about we've all got greatness and we've all got shitty things. You know, we can all be kind and, well, I don't know about all of us, but, you know, a lot of us have kindness.
There is a potential.
Yeah, well, that's another conversation that's going to be
okay. Even Darth Vader had it at the end.
Yeah. Well, there you go. See? But see, this is one thing I, this is one thing that's been actually a really helpful thing for me to look at. Okay. Is that because I always wanted to be the good things, right? So I wanted to be like the nice guy and I wanted to be the caring one and the kind one, but I also have parts of me that aren't that, you know, that
is honest.
Yeah, that can be like, I can be an asshole. And I'm saying that because if you're listening to this and you're going, I can't, I'm never an asshole. You remember how you said that thing about secrets? There might be a little something there.
Yeah, your secret a-hole.
We won't push on that one. But here's what I found about me was when I had this thing in place and I was going, well, I just want to be a nice guy and I want to be seen as that. And I want to be seen as this, you know, this caring, kind person. Even though, so anything that didn't match that, I had to keep hidden from me and I had to keep hidden from the world. That's a lot of judgment that I have to have against that I have to have with myself in order to keep that hidden. But also in that, there's a lot of points of view about what that actually is. And you don't actually get access to that energy when you have judgments of it. Now, I'll see if I can make sense of this a little bit. Is one of the things that we do is we will prove that we are the opposite of what we judge ourselves. We will prove we are the opposite of what we judge ourselves as. So let's say, for example, or being judged as. Let's say, for example, when you're a kid, you're like full on and you're just like, you know, just bouncing off the walls and you're just an energetic, just amazing creature. Mm-hmm. And you get made wrong for that. You get
well,
made
yeah.
wrong.
Yeah. I mean, most kids will be made wrong for that, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you do is with that, you get made wrong for that. You're too much, you're too full on, quieting down, don't ask so many questions, blah, 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 all of that. Is you start proving that you're not that. Oh, well, I'm more of a subdued creature and this is how I show up now and I'm more appropriate and I'm more like that. So now when anything else comes into your life like that, anyone else shows up that's full on, you have a judgment of them.
Yeah.
You know, and this is where for a lot of us, you as an infinite being have the capacity to be everything. So the idea that we're just a kind person, or the idea that we're just a parent, or the idea that we're just unkind, or the idea that we're just anything is the limitations that create our no receiving of anything greater. One of the things I had to recognize for me was I have the ability to be unkind, but I also am extremely kind. I am generous, but I also know how to be selfish. You know, I am and it was like when I kind of looked at that and I went, oh, what if none of it was wrong, but all of it was choice? That alone gave me so much more freedom to be me.
Interesting. Yeah. Because again, you're releasing that judgment because it was almost like you suppressed that a-hole in you and sometimes or didn't realize that that could be part of you.
Well, how much of our lives do we spend proving that we are something? You know, I know for me, I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I always had the point of view that there must be something evil and terrible and wrong about me.
Mm.
I think a lot of us have that we're not worthy. You know, that there's just something, there's just a screw off. There's this like something must be inherently wrong with me. Well, what I've found, and one of the questions that we have within Access is, what if your greatest wrongness is actually your greatest strongness? What if underneath that, what if the underneath all of that judgment that you have of you is where all the strength is?
Powerful question. What if? How can you transcend the past and become who you're meant to be?
I would say by beginning each day with some questions, you know, and be willing to let go of who you were yesterday. Mm. Who am I today and what grand and glorious adventures can I have? And, you know, and then what are the infinite possibilities for today? What could I choose today that I've never chosen? What could I receive today that I've never been willing to receive before?
Mm.
You know, when that, when the judgment comes up, what's right about me, I'm not getting. What's right about this, I'm not getting. And when anything shows up that's good or bad, how does it get any better than this? Asking what else is possible. Because one thing I've learned is if you're not in question and you're not actively creating your life from question, this world will create it for you. You know, and so the more you're willing to be in question, the less you can be controlled by anything around you.
Powerful. I'm going to go back and write down those questions.
Got lots of them, you know.
Right. Yeah. For my daily practice. You should
check out Access. We got like millions of questions that are epic.
Okay. Yeah. And everybody listening too, check it out.
Yeah.
What are the biggest misconceptions about happiness?
I would say the biggest misconception about happiness is that it's not a choice when it is. You know, it's interesting too, because I'm in Costa Rica at the moment. Yeah, I'm in Costa Rica at the moment. And the last few days, I have not like really had that joy that I would like to have in my world. I wouldn't say my happiness quota has been off the charts. And I've just been like, what is this? You know, trying to the best of my ability not to go to any wrongness with it. Just being like, okay, so what am I aware of? What is this? Mm-hmm. What do I do with it? Can I change it? If so, how do I change it? And this morning I was like, I was sitting outside looking at this beautiful view and I was like, I'm actually choosing to not be as happy as I know I am. Because one of the questions I'll ask myself when if something's funky or off in my world, one of the first questions I'll ask is, okay, what am I avoiding? And when I asked myself that question this morning, I was like, oh, I'm avoiding total happiness. See, because for me, I know that when I'm happy, no one can control me. I can't be owned by people. And so, but for me, I'm also the person that has my whole life been willing to give up my happiness for other people. So I would say the misconception with happiness is that we don't have choice with it.
Right. Absolutely. And I'll just add something that's coming to me, that it's something external. That something external can bring you happiness, or, you know, manifesting what you think is your best life, like riches or vacations. So
that's a really good point. And I definitely agree with that. You know, I remember years ago, I was like, I'm not happy because I don't have any money. You know, and there was a certain amount of money. And I was like, once I get this certain amount of money in my bank account, then I'll be happy. And I remember the day that that amount of money was in my bank account and nothing changed. And I was like, that didn't work at all. You know, you know, we do it with relationship. We do it with all the things in our lives. We make so many things the sources for our life, the source for happiness, the source for money, the source for joy, the source for ease, whatever that is for you. I know I've had thousands of them, but one of the things I know is when you make something else the source for your happiness, relationship, money, you know, whatever that is, then you cannot receive that happiness unless it comes from that source. So now if money is what brings you happiness, but you have no money, you can't be happy. If sex or relationship is what brings you happiness and you don't have sex or you don't have relationship, you don't have happiness. So the thing that you said, where it is this, it's a choice we have, and it's part of who you are if you're willing to choose it. And that's that thing of, you know, we're talking about creating a phenomenal life. What would it be like if a phenomenal life meant that you didn't have the need or necessity for anyone or anything to fulfill that for you?
Yeah.
What if it simply could be, you know what? I don't have any money today, but I have me.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful way to live. What is Zen success to you?
I would say any success is the ability to create a change, as tiny as that change may be. You know, I have a friend of mine who says he knows he's successful when he's able to contribute to one person choosing something different, to one person changing. And I think we put a lot on what success is, but what if success was just the ability to create something more conscious in the world?
Yes, wonderful. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you and connecting with you. And I'll put your website and how to connect in the show notes. So thanks for being with me on the show, Brendan.
Thank you, Carissa. It was great. Thank you.
My pleasure.
That's it for today's episode of Zen Success. Head on over to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to shows. Subscribe to the show and share with friends. Be sure to head on over to zensuccessshow.com to help you on your Zen Success journey. And join us on the next episode. May you find your own Zen Success in life.